things cannot be long hidden. The sun, the moon, and the truth. So tonight, the truth is going to be unfiltered and full of flavor. Please welcome Dana McCool and Eric Raimondo, bringing you the Smoking Truth.
Friday. Happy Friday, Dana McCool. How are you doing, my dear?
Well, you know.
Woo! Yeah. It's funny. Every time we start the show, it's always a happy Friday thing, right? And then, like, I adjust myself slightly right before the show starts. Uh-huh. But then I feel like I go for the high five and stuff, and I feel like one more time I gotta adjust myself. I don't know why.
You did, because you're settling in for the goodness.
I guess, yeah.
That's it?
I almost thought, like, is it a nervous take? No, it's not nervous, because I'm good. Like, I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm especially cool these days. I find myself.
I have found that about you. I haven't had to.
No, and I'm trying to be very careful with that too, because I don't see the need to yell the same way. Somebody today, I had to have a conversation with someone. We'll get into this stuff in a minute. Mm-hmm. I had to have a conversation with someone. Actually, a pretty real, frank conversation with them, mm-hmm. And I was a little annoyed because they were bothering me about something, and I had to kind of fire back a little bit, and I started to elevate my voice slightly, and then I caught myself and brought it back down. Mm-hmm. I did have to release one shit and one F-bomb, but not in a harsh way. It was mm-hmm. more like in passing, which I didn't want to do.
A mellow fuck.
Yeah, because I was a little frustrated, and I wanted him to understand, like, where I was at mentally at that moment in time, mm-hmm. because you're frustrating me and you're upsetting me.
Right.
And so forth. So But like I said, I caught myself.
Right.
Because I'm in that – I've been up there – I think I told you last time I was talking to my daughter, and she's all like – she didn't notice it. But I think my wife's noticing, and I'm trying very hard a lot of times.
Have you noticed I've been more mellow?
I do notice that. Mm-hmm. You haven't been as agitated, mm-hmm. you know. And if you are bothered by something, you'll call me on the phone privately and discuss with
right.
me. But that's more just for advice, console, you're bothered about something and whatever it may be, which I understand because we're all – you know, creatures of emotion, some to one degree or another. But anyways, but I love it because I know I can be there for you. So,
OG.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you concerned at all? I've asked this before.
About Eric?
Yeah.
No, he seems okay.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Anyways.
It's a little odd, but yeah, he seems okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
Privately.
Yeah.
Because I don't really discuss with anybody else. Mm-hmm. I'll talk to you about it.
Okay.
I'll talk to you about
it. It's a turning. Like you are going down the Buddha path, grasshopper.
We'll talk about it privately. Okay. I'll tell you where I'm
at. I already know.
I'm pretty sure you do.
I'll tell you.
Because I know somebody probably told you already.
No, I swear up to whatever Buddha or whatever you say, they did not. It's just that I know you that well. I know what it is, and it is the search for serenity.
That and other things too. Yeah. And I'm almost there.
Yeah.
So I
got you.
Anyways.
I got you. Okay. All right. Okay.
Anyways.
Yeah, that's not content. Yep. That's ours.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So listen, I'm just going to say this, but let me answer it too.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you, but let me answer it too, because I need to answer.
Okay, go ahead. Okay? Yeah, please, go ahead.
Eric.
Yeah.
Who's your lover?
Go ahead and answer, Dana.
Fucking Roma Cro-Magnon.
Yes. So
that's the new one.
This is the new one. Yes, sir, mm-hmm. it is. Thank you, OG. So I was upstairs and I'm kind of like, okay, what do I want to do? Like, obviously, the guys have their stuff. It's all in the front right there, right? And I'm, mm-hmm. I'm always trying to be supportive. But I was like, I want something else. So I asked, I asked Greg and I'm like, hey, we got this new. We got this new. And Eka was there too. So I was like, mm-hmm. okay. So Eka, he says, well.
Listen to Lady E.
Yeah. Well, so she likes the Roma Craft Cro-Magnon, right? Mm-hmm. And there's the other ones that the older ones that are next mm-hmm. to it, right? And like, I really love these. This is what got me into this. Right. However, this is also a good one too. So I said, okay, I'll try it out. It's new. So there you go. That's what I got today.
That's Uncle Daddy Skip. I call him Uncle Daddy Skip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And he's
He's
on the other side of the spectrum for me. I can tell you that. I know that. But I hear a lot of good things.
Sometimes I want to sometimes I want to ask Uncle Daddy Skip to come here and make my Democratic arguments for me, because he is so. He is so smart. OG, am I right about that?
Yeah, he'd do a phone interview.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to get him on. I'm going to get him Uncle Daddy Skip on.
We should. I was last week I was sitting down with J.W.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting, and then come to find out there's a lot that we have in common about just me being with Lake County, my attachment to Lake County, and you know why.
Yeah.
And we were just like, wow, okay, JW, I got it. No, I know who they are. I know of them because of my boss. And blah, blah. Anyways, so somehow we were talking a little bit of politics. Obviously, I know where his affiliation's at. And anyway, so he talks to me about, yeah, you know, and then I forgot. There was another conversation that came about something else.
Mm-hmm.
On some disagreements between our folks, our friends here, and some others.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyways, and then the whole thing of Roma Craft came up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I heard the story. And so anyways, I left it at that. And he's just, but we talked about, you know, we've been mentioned about Skip. And I said, yeah, I've met him like two or three times in passing while he's been here. And he made a comment about the Gov. And I was just kind of like, I start laughing. Like, you can say what you want. It's a free country. I don't like begrudge people. Although if you ask me honestly about something, I'll tell you honestly about it. But he was just making a statement because I know he's not a big fan of the Gov.
Right.
And so forth. So anyways, but I just told him, I just, you know, it was good conversation a few times I had with him. Just, you know, obviously we think differently about politics. But anyway, so yeah, no. It was, but I had a good conversation with JW that I can tell you, he and I, we sat down, man, for about 2 hours before I saw you finally come in.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting, I was like, man, we just had a real good conversation. And so it was cool. Yeah. I enjoyed that. Yeah. But anyways.
So I feel good that all my guys are back from PCA.
Yes, yes.
They were, you know, they left us for a week. Yeah, everything was like kind of off balance. Mm-hmm. OG.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So Joe Hanush said, when are you guys getting back on your regular schedule, damn it? Like, they expect content every week. And I said, listen, Eric's back from session now.
Yeah.
I am feeling decent.
Yeah.
And we have lots to talk about.
There's lots coming up, folks. So just pay attention, I would say, because it's just we're just getting started with the campaign season.
Yep.
And we're going to have sort of some folks back on.
And, yeah. And I went to Volusia League of Cities last night.
Oh, I did see something. I thought I saw something, right? Yeah.
305 was there.
Yeah.
You know, 305's table and his affiliates got the largest cheers in the audience because, you know, they're a pretty great group there.
They are. And
I love me some A. But yeah. I love me some H.
No, I know.
You know what
and
I'm
so
saying?
I think some of that has to do with just
305.
I think some of that has to do with because he's just very heavily involved with those folks that go there, and he sees them all the time. And obviously in his role now, he sees them in different
305
capacities.
305 is amazing. I love him.
He's
all right.
He's a good dude, man. He's a good dude. I talk to him. We talk all the time, and so.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, no. But I think that's what it is. I think. People within the community just want to generally show love to the two groups, the two entities.
Yeah.
But obviously him being there with the other one is a thing because he's been involved with these folks for a long time.
I was with our wild blonde-headed friend too.
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. She's amazing. She's so hardcore.
I had a conversation with this individual.
We're not allowed. I told her after last night because we were sitting at the table. It was me. And it was another commissioner and his wife. And then we had waste management.
Okay.
And then we had Sherry Simmons was there with me.
Uh-huh.
And then our wild blonde friend was there too. So she was sitting across the table. And then the program actually started and it was pretty good.
Okay.
Like what they went over legislatively last night. That was good. But then the wild one was sitting next to me and I'm like, I told her, we're not allowed to sit next to one another at serious events. You can't do that to me because I'm trying to pay attention.
Yeah.
And she's not even trying to misbehave, right? But the way that she understands stuff and she'll bring – and I'm just – I look at her like, who hurt you, man?
And I
love her.
So I'll tell you that we were at an event – man, a couple months back, and I happened to be there with 305 and a bunch of the folks. Whatever, I was sitting at one table, and then they were happening to sit at another table, and the looks that were going on back and forth because there was always something like subtly underneath between everybody at the table. Like 305 was at the table. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that person was there at the table. Mm-hmm. There was another commissioner from Deltona at the table who I generally get along with, even if I don't always agree with this individual, but.
Mm-hmm.
She was there.
Right,
so I think everybody probably figure out.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so there was a lot of stuff going on, and it was getting to a point where it was just like, yeah. So like at your event, we all took it outside, and it was just getting, it was just getting a little crazy outside in a good way. But it was just like everybody's just having a good time, laughing and forgetting about either forgetting temporarily about the fact that why not just why we're there, but also that but. because it's a lot. You know what I mean? You're doing a lot for the community with people with cancer. And I know that's your thing, because obviously everything you're going through or went through, I'm sorry. But still trying to – and anyways, and so – so it's just for a moment sometimes. It's like almost like the burdens of the world and everything. You just let go for a little bit. You know what I mean? Just for that moment in time.
Yeah.
And it means a lot sometimes. I think it means more to, I think, people sometimes than they realize.
You know how extra she is? Like, you know, after we went to the mayor's ball in Daytona, you know, it was me, her, and our other blonde friend.
Yep, I know.
Right?
Yep.
You know who I'm talking about. Not the one, but the other. Mm-hmm. You know who I'm talking about, right?
The
short one.
The short, yeah, exactly.
Yep. Okay. So I took them to Froggy's Biker Bar to smoke cigars after we were in our formal ball gowns.
Yeah.
And the three of us come rolling into Froggy's. And these bikers are just like this. And Kim, whatever, she doesn't care. Everybody knows. Shorty's walking in with her cigar and her perfect self. Mm-hmm. And these bikers, between blonde one and blonde two, did not even know what to do. It was like bees to a hive. And the one, we know the one is out there and can hang with the best of any tough person, right? But the other one is amazing, but in a very much like more innocent kind of way, right? Mm-hmm. And she said, I've never been to a biker bar. He said,
"Shocker!"
But listen, the response was amazing. I wish you could have been there. You saw the pictures, but it was amazing.
I will tell you this though, that I walk through life, especially nowadays, trying to appreciate everybody that's in my life that means something to me. Mm-hmm. And I also am at a point too where I'm just trying to let go and personally reconcile. With me personally, not having to go to anybody else, but just me personally going, I let it go. I'm done. Almost like a little bit of forgiveness.
You know, I did that Monday night.
Did you?
Did you hear about this Monday night?
No.
So, you know, I have this feud with a local attorney.
Yes, I know.
Okay.
Yep.
Monday night was a showdown at OK Corral. It's the last time this contentious subject was brought up.
Okay.
You know which one I'm talking about.
Yep.
So do y'all. I mean, I don't know why I'm talking in veiled references, but just.
I think we got used to it because we're doing that with the people. We just don't want to. I just don't feel the need to mention some people's names sometimes.
So it's whatever. It's a situation. It was over a land development, which I felt very strongly about.
In Deltona, which I think you guys know where she's going with it.
Yeah.
So
I felt very, very strongly about it to the point where this particular attorney, land use attorney, thought that it was personal and got up and stated such. And I'm like, nah, man, it's not personal. And that pissed me off. Yeah. So she and I are both very strong personalities, each for our own reason, justifiably so.
Okay.
I appreciate what she has to do. And I'm pretty sure she's had to cloak herself after being in a very male dominated world for so long. I get all of that.
Okay.
You know, but it wasn't personal. But this time I consciously said, I am taking the softer, non-antagonistic approach. Mm-hmm. And I let all that stuff be bygones. And I said as such, I wish you the very best. Mm. This was never personal. This was about this, this, and this. And I was very soft. And there were a couple of my commissioners that thought I was sick that night because I chose not to fight.
Yeah.
But I have found, much like in Kung Fu, use people's own weight against them. You know what I'm saying? People punching, coming at you, punching. You know, you just step aside and let them fall themselves. I just no longer care to battle over stuff that I don't have a personal investment. I battle for my constituency, but it's different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it.
I let go of the peripheral bull
crap. And sometimes you need to do that. There's a lot of shiny objects or distracting objects in our lives, and we need to just tune them out. Mm-hmm. My point earlier was just saying that I've come to appreciate, whether I always agree or disagree, but I've always told people that with me, look, man, I'm always going to treat you at face value. I'll give you the respect you deserve as a human being, unless I get some sort of like sixth sense on something that's not right. And then I may just distance myself. I may not going to be mean about it, but I'll just distance myself.
Right, right.
Or until you show me differently. Like, I've seen people come across, like, oh, then you start to like catch up on cues. You're going to go, no, this person's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you start to distance in some way. But anyways, so I'm at a point now, so I'm just talking about the ladies in general, where I just, you know, feel like they're kind of in my lives, right? Mm-hmm. They're friends of mine. And I do appreciate it. They all bring something to the table in their own way, you and everybody else. And so I do appreciate it from the short one to the other one to the other one up in Daytona to yep. you to others.
Yep.
305, his significant other.
How much I love her.
Yeah. So I just you know.
Hey, all I'm saying.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at. And but no, I had a recent conversation with the other one.
Okay.
And it was good. We just got talking. We hadn't talked in a while, and there were some things that that they were just going through in many ways, professionally, mm-hmm. and other ways, whatever. And you know, and I always told them, I said, "Look, I'm there." Like,
are you talking about the wild one, the short one, or the other one?
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a recent conversation.
Okay.
Some stuff that they just wanted to reach out to me on, and mm-hmm. I was like, "All right." And I said, "Look, I've always been there. And now we get busy. Obviously, I have my things going on, and you know mm-hmm. they had their things going on as well too. But I said, I've always been there. Just ask, mm-hmm. and I'll do the same. I try to do for everybody else. I'll give you my opinion. Mm-hmm. You can take it if you like. You know, I told her I'd do the same thing with Dana and mm-hmm. others. You know, I get the call from Daytona,
yeah,
probably twice a month on some things that you know are happening. And if I can help, I'm always there to help. So yeah. That's kind of where I'm at. Cause I don't want to. I'm way beyond animosity stuff. Like,
yeah.
I don't have time for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is
so exhausting, isn't it?
It is. That's kind of
so exhausting.
Where I'm at is it's just it takes so much more energy. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, ah, oh, man. Anyways.
Hey, congratulations, Grasshopper. Yeah, you know. All right, there's two things I need to talk about.
Yes, go ahead. I told you I was going to feed off of you today because I don't have much.
Yeah.
Other than one thing that was just, I was coming down the highway a little annoyed on something, but we'll talk about it towards the end, so don't worry.
Do you want to talk about your annoyance first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you okay with that?
Because
I'll get out of the way and we'll be done with that. We can deep dive into your stuff.
Sure. Go ahead.
So
let me get a sip of that coffee. Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank God or thank the legislature or whatever for passing a law. I got to find out. I don't think the governor signed off on it yet, but passing a law, and I got to make sure it passed both sides, but passing a law that states that you can no longer be the far left lane was always designed to be a passing lane. And now, if it goes through all the way, right? Now, if you're caught just driving ho-hum in that lane and they catch you, and I'm assuming that law enforcement is going to have to use their judgment like a lot of things they do, and if they just see you drive along and they're realizing, hey, that lane's for passing, you can't be there, either move it or get out the way, that you're gonna get a ticket. Mm-hmm. They may give you a warning at first, some sort of whatever, but I don't remember the details. But anyways, my point in saying that is just that, like, today I was coming down and I just see somebody and I'm being forced to now move into the middle lane because it happens to be moving faster because one person just sitting there like and I look, folks, I get it. The speed limit is 70 miles an hour. But when you want to pass because you're doing 75.
Listen, can we just be real?
Most law enforcement doesn't care if you move around 75.
70?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
70 to 75. Okay. 75 to 80.
That's what. That's
80 and above. Yeah. What are we not understanding here?
And I get it, but I'm just kind of like, but you got to move out the way if you don't feel comfortable. And then the other problem is like, well, you know, speed limit is 70 miles an hour. No, but we want to pass. Like, we want to go. People like, there's a whole five cars, and it's like, they
let me
go.
Ask you something. Let me ask you something.
But I'm gonna stop.
Listen, let me ask you something.
Yeah, go ahead.
When somebody is going your exact speed, like in the left lane, and they won't move over.
Yeah.
Do you ever just like kind of get close to them,
yeah.
make them back up,
and then
you can get?
I would always do that.
I'll get around.
I'll get around.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I come in front, not super close, but enough to let them know that I'm annoyed. But I'm trying to tell you, get out of the way. And I know you have more than enough room, but you're doing what you're doing because it comes a point in time, and the two of you can correct me if I'm wrong. You just get the feeling and sense of doing it on purpose now.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm just kind of like
they
what?
Challenge your authority.
But now, because I'm trying to go through.
Yeah.
You know what? Fine. You don't.
You don't know what their circumstances are.
You do you.
They might be having a rough day.
I'm gonna
blacked out while driving.
I'm gonna go around and just. It is what it is.
Do we have any cloud music? Any fucking any
yeah.
heavenly
ethereal,
music?
Heavenly,
any,
yeah.
Do we have anything ethereal and heavenly?
Close enough. I love it.
Anytime we talk about driving, OG, that needs to be the thing now. Because
right.
I said, you know, I talk often about it, my recovery and my alcoholic recovery.
Yeah.
I said, this is the key to life. Mm. If I can get my road rage under control, my whole life will work itself out.
Makes sense.
Do you know
I
what I'm saying?
Because
road rage encompasses everything that's faulty about humans.
Yeah.
It does. It encompasses narcissism, entitlement, Everything. Yeah. Sloppy humans, yeah. Undisciplined. Like, it brings everything out in me.
Yeah.
Patience, countenance.
Boy, he's a fucking man.
I can't believe he has a sound effect and I don't.
You're on the show every week.
I'm boycotting.
Love.
All right.
I love it.
All right. So just remember that, y'all, we've established the rules.
Yes.
So
we've established rules. So yeah. Pay attention, listen, and do your part. Move over.
Okay. So I want to talk about two things today.
All right.
First of all, I would like to wake the community up to the fact that our county council is trying to repeal the 3-day waiting period for guns for private sales. Mm-hmm. Now, that's fine and dandy if Councilman Robbins, who, you know, been on the show a couple times, I consider him a friend.
Yep.
I consider him an annoying younger brother. I do. I do.
Because
Pat Northey's our mom, okay? Listen, and he is the bad son right now.
I've seen the two of you behind the scenes, and I just know that you guys like to just, like, you know, poke at each other. I know. Like that constantly warm brother and sister who love each other, but just love to just like amp each other up a little bit.
Yeah.
I know.
Know that I love him, right?
Yeah, I know.
Right now he's a dick though.
God.
Danny, you're a dick right now. So I'm just going to say, I can say that because I have a show.
Yeah,
and he can come on the show and bring some Rasta hair and maybe we can work this out. But let me tell you what's infuriating to me. Okay. I spoke with almost with the exception of one, the entirety of the county council regarding this matter. Okay. Mm. And let me tell you what consensus is. Yes, we believe what you're saying, but we're Republicans and we'll get skewered if we vote anything that seems to be anti-2A. Now, let me tell you why I have a problem with this.
Okay.
I have purposely gone out and polled other Republicans. Mm. Just individually talking. You know, I have a lot of Republican friends. As a matter of fact, and I don't know why this is, I have more Republican friends than I have Democrat friends. Like, truly, in my circle.
No, I could see that. Yeah.
In my circle. That's what I'm saying. The people that, like, in my circle,
yep.
I really do.
I know you do.
In my professional career, I do. Why? Because I just happen to work with more Republicans than I do Democrats. Yeah, and I'm friendly with people, you know? I mean, and colloquial, and I have good bipartisan understanding of working relationships.
Okay.
After doing this for three years, I know I'm a baby, but what I'm saying is I really understand how the wheels work. 305 and you helped me out a lot with that. Okay. Understanding the correlation and good relationships.
Understood.
Right? So I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't get is if we have this consensus amongst Republicans and what I consider middle of the road, the good kind of Republicans, why can't the middle of the road Republicans lead without fear? Who are they going to disappoint? First of all, the governor's pretty much ineffective. I mean, he has his powers. He has the power of the pen still. But for all political reasoning, he's like a lame duck right now. He just is. I'm sorry. We've moved on.
Yeah, but I don't think he has that type of not paying attention to Volusia County. You
know. No, I'm saying collectively.
Okay.
Collectively all right, with Republicans.
Okay.
Okay. Right. And it's sad to me that the certain Republicans believe that they have to play to the lowest base that there is, because I believe that what is starting to happen between Democrats and Republicans is everybody is so sick of the extremism and moving to the middle. But I don't understand why we're so in fear still of that extreme element on either side. The progressives, like the blue dogs, are scared they're going to piss off the progressives and not be able to get consensus.
Yeah.
Now we have the good conservative, what I call the good conservative Republicans, that understand why we have a 3-day waiting period and why it's good. It's one of the last bastions of safety that we have, right?
Yeah.
For people that are mentally unstable. Why they just can't come out and say that? And play to humanitarian reasons rather than political reasons. So basically, I got confirmation from these Republicans that it was about politics and not people. And that pisses me the fuck off. Sorry, not fucking sorry, but I'm going to keep on this. And you know, I've talked to some very top level people in law enforcement also who have said the 3-day waiting period is good. And as we know, my mom bought a gun and killed herself the next day with it. I have a personal reason for this. 3 days is enough time for somebody to cool off or to see another day, to see another sunrise. And it gives them a chance, and it gives us a chance to correct. and it's not killing anybody not to go buy a fucking gun. If somebody feels that pressured, under that much pressure, under that much fear, we have law enforcement, we have safe houses. I mean, not that many, but I'll put you up. If you say, I'm in fear for my life, I'm going to hide you in a hotel.
Okay.
There are resources. There's no reason, because the only ones, you know, that delay of gratification is a mark of maturity.
Mm.
The only ones that I understand that can't delay gratification are two-year-olds and people that aren't well mentally.
Yeah.
So I say wait on it. And they made the argument from the dais that it was unconstitutional. And I said, listen, I'm pretty versed in 2A. I've read 2A. I've studied 2A. I'm a 2A advocate. Yeah. I want responsible, well-trained people to have guns. Yeah. I understand it's part of our rights to have guns. We talk about that. And they say, oh, well, the part that catches us up is shall not be infringed on. I'm like, nobody's infringing. We've had delays on getting guns since the advent, since we colonized. You know what I mean? Have issues at the ports. We have this and that. And, you know, there were, when this was happening, when the Constitution, when these amendments were being considered and being written, there were no red flag laws because we didn't have the stuff that we have today. And it's like I said, up there on the dais also, I believe that our founding fathers thought enough about the following fathers that they would figure out how to do life, that that's why they wrote the Constitution the way that they did. Not to be changed, but to be interpreted for the times. I am not trying to infringe upon your rights. What I am trying to do is protect people that don't have the ability to protect themselves at the time. And now we've had all these pew-pew shoot 'em ups. People are going to use that to correlate gun violence, and we're going to reopen stuff on gun violence. Nobody's trying to fucking take your gun away, Danny. Seriously, I don't want to take your fucking pew-pew rights away. That doesn't happen. What I'm trying to do is protect other people. And if Republicans even say that I have a problem with this, I don't know why the fuck they don't come out and say it. Why are they so scared to come out and say that they think that it's right for the sanctity of human life to fucking wait 3 days?
Well, so listen, I'll tell you this.
Go.
My own personal thing is, to be honest with you, I completely forgot that we had a 3-day waiting period on the private sales, or like, you know, the trade shows and stuff like that, right? And so I, to be honest with you, and had I gone to go get one, let's say for example, and I had to wait 3 days, I personally do not care because I know I'm getting the gun, unless something just gets really screwed up in my background. But the challenge that I have, my only concern with the my only concern with the gun shows a little bit is that it is easier, unless somebody wants to correct me I'm out there if I'm wrong, it is easier to purchase a firearm at a gun show than it would be at a regular retail shop.
Yes.
So that said, and so listen, and so so a couple of things I want to just bring to everybody's attention a little bit, and then you all decide from there, okay? I'll give you, and I'll give you kind of my own Republican perspective on it. And so that said, it probably wouldn't have been high on my priority list if I'm a council member, but I understand that everybody goes up there collectively as like, let's go vote on some things for Volusia County, but then each one comes with their own things as well that they like to try and get fixed or done and do whatever. And so obviously Councilman Robbins has every right to go ahead and initiate this and so forth and so on. And it's fine. The only thing I would say is like, look, let's see. I hate to kind of put it this way. Look, let's see what happens. And if obviously violence increases, then it's on them. Listen, hang on. I hear you. But I go back.
Let's go ahead and screw the suspected person that has gonorrhea.
No, wait.
Let's go ahead and do that in hopes that we don't get gonorrhea. Maybe they washed themselves really good and we won't get gonorrhea.
Yeah,
let's just go ahead and see.
Yeah,
how
but
it
Dana,
happens.
You know, but Dana, let me tell you something. There's been a lot, and the reason why I tell you this is because there's been a lot made about, look, when Trump was president, there were a lot of things that said, oh my God, if you move the capital to Jerusalem, oh my God, it's going to create all kinds of war in the Middle East. That never happened. Oh, if you do this, that never happened. And so there's always this thing coming from the media in general, and also as a Republican, from those on the left who'll say, oh my God, this is going to happen. The world's going to come crashing down. And no, it does not. Now, that said, I will tell you this. Look, when you make a business decision, right?
Yeah.
Do you make it right then and there?
No.
There's always a little bit of a cooling off period for you to sit, to take some time to think about it before you do it, because you don't want to seem impetuous.
Wait, what did you just use?
A cooling off period, right?
So I didn't seem impetuous.
So you didn't see, well, that's my point. So you don't seem impetuous, that you're just doing it and then realizing that there may have been a bigger consequence after the fact, negative, because you rushed into something, right? And so listen, and I'll argue that listen, even just, and I told you this before, even Justice Scalia had said, look, you, if Congress wants to do something to create some sort of cooling off period, they're more than welcome. There's nothing that says in the Constitution they couldn't do it. What we cannot do is take away your ability to own a gun.
I don't care about that.
No, I understand that. And so I'm putting it in perspective so people understand that. So when I hear the conversation about it's completely unconstitutional, I said, that Justice Scalia has already, he's already made his opinions known. One of the most conservative justices we've had, mm-hmm. he's kind of made his own opinion on it as well. You mm-hmm. cannot take away a person's ability to have a gun. If you want to impose some sort of something like a 3-day waiting period, and I don't think it should be more than that, maybe. And I would have even said that
3 days, Eric.
Well, if they wanted to go down to 24 to 48 hours, I'd have been cool with that as well too. But you know, look, it is what it is. I just, to me, but here's something else I'll bring to your attention as well too. Mm-hmm. So you know, I see these things happening sometimes. Like for example, there was after the Super Bowl, and I'm going to give you just a Republican mindset a little tiny bit when it comes to like things of like violence and all this other stuff that happens, right? When we talk mm-hmm. about just guns in general, and I'll remind everybody, guns do not kill people. People kill people. Okay. Now that said,
same with gonorrhea.
I'll just tell you that there was after the Super Bowl, there was an incident that happened. It was a shooting that happened. Mm-hmm. All right, over in Kansas City. Yeah. All right, a shooting that happened. Mm-hmm. Now. Somebody came out on Bill Maher's show, and now this is like 4 days later, 3 days later. We still don't know who the individual that shot the people up, okay? And the argument was made, oh, I bet you it wasn't a white person. Mm-hmm. And this idiot, Van Jones, all right, African-American guy comments on TV all the time. He's an idiot. And he was like, oh my God. And Bill Maher was like, come on, really? And I think it was Ann Coulter who made it. And I know Ann Coulter is far right. But my point is that had it been a white guy who shot everybody up, that would have been another argument to go, this is why we need more gun control and this, that, and the other. But because, which we all knew, because there were plenty of witnesses and the cops knew that it was an African-American, they delayed the information on that person by at least 3 days. Had it been a white guy, my point in saying, and folks, it's not about, I'm not trying to make this about race. What I'm just trying to make it about is that this is the feeling for many on the right is that there is a narrative playing out that those who control the media and those on the left are saying, oh my God, the end of the world is coming. And we're just going, no, it's not. Take it easy. It's not going to come crashing. And I had a conversation with you and I said, look, I personally didn't care one way or the other about it. And look, if that's the vote they took, I mean, I'm not never against a 1 or 2 day, cooling off period, whatever the case may be. But ultimately, that was their decision to make. I'm going to support it because that was their decision to make. Like anything else they do at the county council. Well, let me tell you, they do things like there's a lot of things that the county council does. I don't always agree 100%, but I'm still supportive because of the fact that they're the county council. Now, we'll see what happens. And then we have to go back and tell them, hey, look, this was wrong. And I will tell you this. If something comes of this negative, that is on their hands for those individuals who did it, right? And I don't want it to happen. And I do know that the propensity is there because somebody, look, for the 90% of people who go there who are probably just law-abiding citizens who want to get their guns, I get all that. But I would also caution that there's probably 10% of those people who are not there for the right reasons.
Could you describe for me, Eric?
Yeah.
Could you describe for me? I want to understand.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to understand what the harm is in waiting 3 days. Go.
Me personally, I don't think there's any harm in it. I don't personally think there's any harm in it.
So tell me.
Because you're not taking away my ability to have a gun.
So then tell me then what, why are they, why? Because they, here's the thing. I think because they don't understand, or they're going to say they understand the Constitution more than I do. That I don't know shit about the Second Amendment. And you know what? Maybe. I would say, man, I would like to get the big studio in there with people on both sides of it to have descriptions about it. Because I've gone round and round with Gigi about this, you know,
I'll argue that. Look, and this comment I made to you privately, that I've argued that, look, it's not uncommon in our country's history, even way back when you can make a real serious case. I'm not saying you can make a case today for owning a gun because God knows I own one, definitely. I will tell you, years ago, when we're talking about the country was much more agrarian and the law enforcement was what it is today, that there were times, even when you walked into town, like, you know, and just say, hey, yeah, you got to check your gun at the police station, at the local sheriff's office real quick before you come into town, right? And there were rules that were set up. Now, eventually, you know, folks, for one reason or another, got away from it, either because people complained or who knows what happened. My point is, it's not uncommon for us to do things like that, to kind of check ourselves every once in a blue moon on where we're at. With our ability to own
guns. I would say that we're in pretty good shape with gun laws, seeing how they are so easy to get. And now we have parents driving kids around with guns in Deltona. State and Point, 15-year-old just got caught shooting a fucking 14-year-old, okay, in Deltona.
Yeah, but
stop.
But it's also a symptom. Yeah, but Dana, but
it is.
But it's also
a symptom
of problems we have in society, our disconnect from humanity in many ways, and just the hard edge that we're having towards a lot of things. And parents are not doing their job.
Why aren't they doing their job?
Why aren't they doing their job? For a million different reasons, because they've been corrupted in many ways by a lot of different things.
Like what?
You could call it, you know, if they want TV. Some parents, they'll let their kids, they raise their kids watching TV, letting them be in front of TV all day long without having those conversations. You and I talk about this all the time. They allow their kids to be on social media unchecked constantly. And this is the nonsense that happens. And parents, in many ways, are not being parents enough.
Listen, that's a whole nother show.
I know that, but I'm just trying
that's
to tell
a whole
you is that,
show.
Once again, I want everybody to understand something. You own a gun. Mom and dad, please, or whoever's in the house, the adult, please be responsible with the gun. And I will tell you this, that every time something like this happens where you get some irresponsible parent and a kid gets access to the gun like that easily, it's a problem.
You know what? That same mentality, like about that irresponsible gun ownership, would have you that if somebody leaves their handgun unchecked in their vehicle and it gets stolen, they would lobby for having insurance companies replace them rather than getting fucking fines for being stupid enough to leave their fucking gun in a vehicle overnight. Well, they shouldn't be stealing them. You fucking idiot. Well, you're not have a grasp on the fucking society that
I'd
we
love
live
for them
in today.
Yeah, I would love to know that still, but it's going to happen.
You stupid motherfuckers. That's exactly. I can see that happening right now. Listen to me. 10 years, that'll be happening. My gun, I left it in my car overnight, and it got stolen by some bad person, and now I need to file a claim for that. Can you replace that for me?
Nah.
Instead of them fucking getting punitive damages levied against them. It's just fucking
what
crazy
I would say
to me
the,
that
what,
we're
I,
just
what
all
I would
fucking
say,
pew, pew, pew.
What I would say at the trade shows, if you're going to trade, if the trade shows are going to be treated as equally as a retail brick and mortar type of environment, then I would have said, okay, fine, not a problem. But
Danny should have even been able to bring this up because he fucking sells guns, period. I think that that's a conflict.
Well,
I think it's – stop it. I think that's the worst kind of fucking conflict. Listen, it's his own pet thing. And, you know, we know that Volusia County Council is able to bring up whatever their little pet is. And Danny's is going through ordinances and taking out the ones that infringe on people's rights to pew-pew. Yeah. Or not to have a motocross, because that's important.
Well, you know, there's something else I've argued, too, that before is that I don't think we pay – looks, and I'm probably going to get excoriated by a lot of folks on my side. I don't think we pay elected officials enough. Because here's what happens, right? Most of the counties, you know what county commissioners are making?
30?
No.
What?
They're making, according to state law, they're making between $95,000 to $105,000 a year. That is their full-time job.
And Volusia?
Volusia's at 45 because Volusia has a charter, and they felt back in the 60s like, we were so corrupt back then. This is what we have to do. So school board members get paid X amount. Mm-hmm. You know, county council or county commissioners get paid X amount. Most counties throughout the state, because it's all based on there's like a base rate and it's based on population. Volusia County county council members should be making about $95,000 a year. I know many county council members, that is their full-time job, so the 4 to 8 years that they're doing it. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of go, okay. And then so then you remove sometimes that – even state house members. I don't think they get paid enough a lot of times. I'm going to tell you this right now. There's a lot of traveling that gets involved in all this stuff. A lot of time they take away from their own business, but to do – for many of them to do what they want to do because – they actually enjoy it, and they enjoy trying to do right by their constituencies in many ways. And what happens is that, you know, now there's always this air of conflict of interest because, hey, man, I don't get paid $29,000 a year. I got a business to run. And if it happens – if I have to vote on something that impacts my business in a positive way, then so be it. It is what it is. You know, that's the pros and cons of us being citizen legislators. Listen, once again, I'm not here today to take a position one way or the other. I'm just here to tell you folks – that's what I see. you folks decide. That's all I'm gonna do. Like kind of like when I sometimes when Mark Barker puts this thing out and I repost it, I go Mark wrote it. You decide. And that's it, you know. And I do that because it really is up to people to decide. Okay. Have that conversation.
Listen, I'm gonna see if Danny will come on and discuss with us.
I'd love to have Danny on. I love Danny. He's a great guy, man.
He is, yeah. Again. He's my annoying younger brother. Okay, I love him, but fuck you, Danny. Okay.
Poor Councilman Roberts, Danny. Hey, listen, I love you, man. You gotta come on the show, Danny. Again.
Listen, I tell you what I did.
Yeah.
After that day, after that vote, I really try to be pragmatic. I was pragmatic in public, but I got home, man. I got my shoes kicked off and I was laying in bed. The more I laid, the more pissed I got. And I started this.
Did you fire something off?
Oh.
Without a cooling off period?
I did.
Without a cooling off period?
I did. So I did it that night and then I got into it with the chair. The chair was very good natured about this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I get it.
I really was rough on the chair. But he and I have a good relationship, yeah. And I like texted five of them, you know,
yeah, good.
Piece of shit, men, gosh, like it was horrible. And the next day, and even that night, one of them who I especially respect, because there is one up there that I respect above all others.
Okay.
And that one, I come here.
Okay.
I respect that one above all others. And I texted him that night and I texted all of them. I texted him that night. Yeah. And then the next day, the morning, first thing I texted them all because I had talked to some people that are smarter than me, you know, and I'm like, this is what I did.
Yeah.
And you know what? In their defense, none of them called me out like to publicly, you know what I mean? Because I keep that kind of stuff private. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I say in private that I won't put in public. And first, I don't want to use against me. And then second, I don't want to use against them, right? But I texted them the next morning to apologize for my behavior because when it's said and done, they earn the right to vote the way that they do. Mm-hmm. I was one, which blew me away. I was one constituent in 500,000 people that was there speaking out against it. In my defense, though, a lot of people said they didn't like preemptively know it was on the agenda. I'm like, I read the agenda all the time to see if there's something I care about because you got it. The devil's in the details.
Lack of engagement from a lot of folks. That's part
fucking
of the problem.
Apathy. Apathy. Yeah. And that's what I wrote the next morning. I said, congratulations, Volusia County Council, 7-0. I said that apathy is the Republican Party's best friend. And I told the Democratic Party, I said, y'all are a piece of shit for let this. Who showed up? Who knew about this?
You're saying that because they happen to be the ones in control at the moment for everybody that's up there as Republican. But I will tell you this. Apathy is a mother lover for all those who happen to be in control. Because the less you're engaged, the more they do
they
it.
Like
and there's
it.
A, and there's a lot, no, there's a lot of good like people it. In politics who are trying to do the right thing. But there's also a lot of people with their own personal agendas and nefarious, whatever you want to call it. And I kind of go, and they love when the citizenry is not involved. That's why I always tell people, pay attention to what's going on in your federal government, please, because they're doing things.
Read that. Read them bills. Yeah. Read them bills at the state level. Seriously, we talked about that last night's VLOC dinner was about that. And I finally kissed and made up with VLOC. You know, I had a grudge for the last year
I know.
About SB Handjob 102.
I know.
Right. And I talked about that, but I also talked last night that there was a good legislative update and I made the commitment to be more involved because we need to, and there needs to be opposing views. And if I don't get engaged, then I am guilty of apathy also.
Well, that's what it comes down to 100%. Look, if you could be mad initially, and I get it 100%, mm-hmm. and because it's not what you believe in, and there are things that I see sometimes on my side, and I kind of go, man, but if you don't remain somewhat engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're just doing like everybody else is doing. And there's a reason why the same 10 people show up at City Hall in Daytona or probably in Daytona or at the county council level, right?
Yeah.
And nobody else is paying attention. And then you post something, everybody's kind of like, wow, like, you know, a 3-day cooling off period. We don't think that's a big deal. And you'll hear that like from a lot of even some gun owners, not even all, but you're going to hear that from other gun owners like, dude, I don't personally care because I'm going to get my gun one or the other anyways. Yeah. So if I got to wait another day or two or three, whatever, you know. So
all right, let me get into my second thing for today. I'm going to start giving the Poussoir of the Month award.
Okay. Jeez. Okay, go ahead. I got it. At first, I was like, French, what? Oh, never mind. I already know what that means. Never mind. You're just being nice about it. I got it. Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Poussoir of the month for D. McCool.
Okay.
The smoking truth is the Florida Supreme Court. You chicken shit motherfuckers.
Oh, boy.
I'm just going to say that right now.
Jeez.
Okay?
Why?
Because Supreme Court decision should have been released yesterday at 11 a.m. regarding ballot initiatives. Okay. And they did not. It's not like they've not had time to fucking think about it, mull it over. It's that we have the power. We're going to make you sit over the weekend. The shit's going to go on the ballot. You can't, people want recreational marijuana and they want to chime in on abortion rights. And that's, here's the thing. This is what's sad to me. Much like the 3-day waiting period that I proposed to the county council, if this is really in the best interest of the constituency, then put it to a vote. You know, bring it up, put it to a vote. Let the people decide. Same thing I say about this. Why are you stalling to put this measure, these measures on the ballot? They're going to say it's about verbiage, but it's not about verbiage at all. It's not. It's a delay tactic. That's what I believe, because they know that the writing's on the fucking wall. The marijuana, medical marijuana, passed with an incredible amount of voter initiative, voter support. This recreational thing is going to take off. They should be concentrating more on other things that we need. So I'm going to tell you something right now, too. If they choose not to put abortion rights on the ballot, I'm just going to tell you, you're setting up the blue wave for November, because this is women's health care. Because here's what you've done now. Unintended consequences. Now you're getting in the backyard of women's health, period. Not just with the abortion rights, but with IVF. You're fucking with us there. Fucking with us medically, making us carry a baby that is, you know, not going to develop well. There's a lot of things you're messing with. And so you keep on, that's what I'm going to say to the Florida Supreme Court. You keep on putting stuff out there that will encourage Democrats to come out and vote. Listen, and that's going to happen.
Listen, so here's, I'll give you 2 points on that. Number one, I wholeheartedly disagree with the terminology, and I don't like when Democrats do this, and anybody for that matter uses it. It's, to me, abortion is not health care. They're two completely wildly different things. If that's your choice, that you want to have that abortion, if it's available to you, then go ahead. I guess do what you got to do. But I'm just going to tell you, I don't call it health care. That said, on the political side of that,
why do they call Viagra health care?
What happened?
Why do they call Viagra?
They shouldn't. Now, Viagra, let me tell you, but let me be, they shouldn't. I will tell you, the original reason for Viagra was because it does help it with the heart. Listen. That's what Viagra and those medications were
initially designed for. What did you say it was helpful
for? For heart care, yes.
Oh, I thought you said hard care. No.
God.
Makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it makes a lot more sense. That said, if anybody out there is calling Viagra healthcare, it is not healthcare unless it's being used for its initial use, its intended initial use, which was the heart care, not hard care. And so I don't believe that. However, I will tell you this though, that I do understand the point that you're making, and this is something for everybody to just think about. And I get it. Sometimes you got to just stand on that rock you're standing on. 100%. If that's what you truly believe, that's fine. I will just tell you that there is a political component to this. Unfortunately, it is what it is. That, yeah, if you – almost like I tell people – I'm going to use this as an analogy. Mm-hmm. The same way that you're worried about them screwing around with this stuff, I will tell you on the other side of that, that's the same thing I keep telling Democrats. Go ahead, keep screwing with Trump. Go ahead. Because all you're going to do is you're going to just get everybody on his side, because there's a lot of – not just Republicans, but a lot of independents.
Listen.
I'm just telling you. Listen, Linda. I'm just telling you that –
Jesus, the Holy Sacrament is on Donald's side. If Jesus can be for us, who can be against us? Buy that Bible. Send me your $59.99 because we put it together for you with the Jesus word and the Constitution. We got the church and the state together. Listen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Listen, I will defer to – I always tell – this is something –
why is he selling a Bible?
Listen, I'm not going to –
no, you got to answer that.
No, I don't know why he's doing it. And I could care –
$59.99.
I could care less. I will always tell people this. There is a difference between
– wait, I need cash register so bad right now. Do we have a ching?
Can we get a ching for Dana to satisfy her shiny object?
$59.99. You can have the Trump Bible.
I will tell you that somebody did tell me there's like an American flag and the whole thing. And I was like, yeah, oh, that's pretty cool.
There's an American flag. Okay. The Constitution is in it.
All right.
We're putting Jesus and the state right together.
Listen.
Only when you open a page. That's when you separate the church and state.
There is a difference between.
Hey, open up the Jesus book.
There is a difference between faith and religion. There's a difference between faith and religion. I will just tell you this, though.
We got Jesus Trump and Jesus Christ together for one big show. Woo!
I don't know the inner workings of why. All I'm going to just tell you is that. Listen, all I'm going to tell you is this, is that the same reason that you have, that you are like, hey, don't mess with it. But go ahead. If you want to go ahead, because there's going to be a big revolt. I will tell you the same
thing. It is revolting.
I'm going to tell you right now, the same thing's going to happen with Trump. There's a lot of Democrat and even Republican leaders who are not getting it. And they're just sitting there and they keep playing this thing. And most of the stuff that you see coming out of him is garbage or overhyped, way overhyped. And it just shows the lengths that your government will go. Forget about Trump. Put anybody else there. I mean, I would make the same case about RFK. That's more political because it's a DNC thing. But it's the same thing. You're not giving people choice. And this is what the DNC is doing.
Wait, what?
What happened?
What happened? Democrats aren't giving people choice. Neither are Republicans.
I guess.
Well, if you're a woman, you don't get a choice. Yeah. But if you're a guy, you do.
Although, you know, one can make the argument that there's a little bit of a difference between one that where one considers life and then we're just talking politics. That said, what I'll just say is that, you know, look.
Do you feel like when you crack open an egg and you cook it, are you eating a baby chicken? Do you feel like you're eating a baby chicken?
Don't even do that.
Yes or no.
No. I'm not equating the two. I'm not even going to touch that one.
You're not eating a baby chicken. No. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well. Let's move on. Supreme Court. Go ahead. Set me straight on the Supreme Court.
I have nothing to say other than the fact that, look, if whatever the reason is for behind it, look, they've already argued, I think, or no, people have already said on both sides, look, it is what it is. They got the necessary votes. The language looks. They've had other people, other litigators on both sides of the aisle. I don't know. Was it political in nature? It could have been.
Could have been.
I hate to think so, but it could have been.
Let me Democrat-splain for you what Republicans mean when they say that.
Yeah.
They know they're fucked. That's what it is. It's a stall tactic. It's okay.
Yeah. I'm never a big fan of putting stuff out to everybody to vote all the time. I just would rather the legislature just take it up
stupid
and deal with
people.
It.
Stupid people. They wouldn't make a good choice anyway.
Well, there was an issue.
Stupid voters.
So, you know, there was an issue that came up a couple of years back on whether or not you want to give people a certain level of rights once they do their time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so forth. And so what the legislature did a number of years ago was they just kind of punted.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got put up on the ballot. Mm-hmm. And the votes – people voted,
mm-hmm.
and then now the legislature is scrambling to figure out, like, okay, what do we do within the context of what they passed?
Right.
And I just said, why wait till then to do that? Why mm-hmm. not just take up the issue and deal with it, and then let the swords fall where they may? Like, if you either believe or you don't believe, and if there's a political ramification for it, then so be it sometimes. But at least you're showing some sort of gumption and some sort of fortitude that we're tackling this issue. But to keep pushing back, I always feel – and this happens at the congressional level a lot. They're always deferring to the Supreme Court. You want to know why? That is political chicken shittery, and I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to curse. Political chicken shittery, because that's not the way our government was designed to allow Congress or legislatures in general to keep pushing it back to the Supreme Court. So you're not supposed to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That is – that's near dereliction of duty is what I'm going to say. That's how I feel about it. I don't like it. I never have. So there you go. You got my 2 cents.
Thank you for that, Eric.
No, no problem. That's fine.
Your
I listen.
Your insights are invaluable.
Yeah. Hey, everybody's like, Eric, you're giving away the playbook, Eric. Why was that, OG?
Because he's a fucking man.
God.
That will never fucking go away.
That's never going to go away. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to tell you. We are, either way it comes down, recreational marijuana is going to come to Florida. It just is, because people want it. People want it. Not everybody wants to drink. You know, it's been proven a tax base or good taxation for other states that it's in, contrary to whatever FOBO reports they want to bring up. We're not going to enact, you know, like a state income tax or something like that. We can use marijuana tax for a lot of things that, you know, we need to use it from. Deltona, I think that we need to position ourselves to open up more dispensaries. And here's the plot. Listen, you're an entrepreneur.
That's a local call.
Yep. Listen, here's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go down into our CRA,
mm-hmm.
me and you. Okay, there's already one dispensary there.
Yep.
Okay, there's a restaurant next to it.
Yep, I know.
But I think that we should put a couple more dispensaries in there, recreational dispensaries. I think we should open up a hookah. Okay, because mm-hmm. you can open up a smoke shop after that. Okay, and then we put a bakery on the other side of it, a bakery and a coffee shop. Because you don't want to drink alcohol when you're smoking pot. You just want coffee. You want some effervescent. We'll open up a really fruity soda shop. Non-alcoholic, but still craft beverages. So that you can sit there, and we will have Doritos dispensers, too. Because, you know, you need munchies, right, in there. So non-alcoholic, and we will have Dorito dispensaries.
Yeah.
You know, dispensers there. I think it'll be good for us.
Okay. All right. Listen, I mean, look, once again.
Have you ever smoked?
Pot?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When I was younger. Yeah, when I was a kid. Oh, yeah. I did it for, I think I started when I was like about 16, and then I stopped right before I went into the military.
Yeah.
And I haven't done anything since, though.
Yeah.
Because I just, because you know what happened was when I got back, I came back, and I saw a friend of mine who was high on it, and I was just like, I didn't like it anymore. I just, the smell got to me, and I saw the way he was just like, yo, bro, this is so good. I was just like, oh my God, I can't do this.
That's the Republican in you, though. That's the straight Republican. You came out of the military, you were more Republican-y, and then you saw a stoner.
Well, I've always been Republican-y. I just, you know, and obviously as I got older, I got a little more conservative, but more importantly, more libertarian in many ways.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you change your party? You really are libertarian.
No, because I believe in the basic tenets of the Republican Party. That's just basically it. I mean, I have a libertarian streak in me, but I believe in the basic tenets of the Republican Party. Oh yeah, definitely, 100%. I don't. Okay. It is what it is. You know what I will tell you this is that to your point. Look, man, I just told somebody this past weekend. I just was like, look, I'm a firm believer that obviously government's number one role is public safety, just in general, right? Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, I do believe in having certain level of guardrails within society. I think the government can provide certain level of guardrails. Beyond that. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, right? After that, it becomes freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, ultimately, there's a reason why God gave us free will, right? If you're a faith-based person, you know there's a reason why God gave you free will. You have the choice to do this or that.
He knew we would destroy ourselves.
Well, maybe for many. And, mm-hmm. and it's a constant test. I'll just tell you this is that, look, folks, we spend so much time on what we're talking about here earthly, mm-hmm. there's something bigger at play. Like, for example, I've told people this before, even on the folks who are anti-abortion. Look, you can pass all the laws you want, but here's the deal. Ultimately, people are going to still do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying there shouldn't be some sort of restrictions, all right? Because I do believe in life. I will just tell you this, but ultimately, that person who's doing that, making that decision, and I know people are going to come out, oh, you're starting to sound a little pro-choicey. I'm just like, look, people have that right to do that. Because here's what I'm going to tell you. Ultimately, that's between that person, the doctor who's doing it, mm-hmm. and God. And God knows.
Yep.
And that's it. And if you believe it's a mortal sin, the punishment you're going to get in the afterlife is 10 times worse than what you're going to get over here. There are some mental consequences, I think, that some people decide to do it, and they realize afterwards maybe they shouldn't have done it. And some go through life with like, hey, look, you know, something that happened to me when I was a kid, I'm glad I did it because, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, and it is what it is, and then that's fine. But ultimately, I think if you're a faith-based person, you know as well as I do, there's going to be a bigger price to pay in the long run. And so I just go, look.
We have a punishing God.
It's not so much that, Dana, but it's people don't realize that there's one way, and that's it, mm-hmm. right? And so we all know that. And what I'm just going to tell you is that, you know, I'm not going to get preachy because I really don't want to do that because that's something deeply personal for me. I'm just going to tell you, look, ultimately, there are things that people do in life, and if ultimately before your time comes, if you don't find a way to repent, then you know what the deal is, end of the day. And that's reality. That's it.
Listen, I believe that heaven or hell is here on earth. I believe that we live our waking version of heaven and hell as we're here. We make it for ourselves. That's what I believe.
And I respect it. And I do. And I get that.
And here's the thing. I've studied – I'm not a theologian, but I have studied religion, and I have found my way spiritually and how I live and deal with things. And I think that it comes down to, for me, is what about love thy neighbor, don't you understand? You know, period. That's for me. And I believe that when we're talking about right to choose and women making these choices and hearing that how they're murderers and baby killers and stuff like that, you know, and you're absolutely right. There is but one ultimate authority, God, as you choose to understand him, period. And about what you can live with. So other people making choices for you and what they think is growing inside of you, because no one can make that determination when a doctor has said it's not a viable pregnancy and you're made to carry that pregnancy to begin with. When you force someone to have a child that they're not prepared to take care of. Listen, No man will ever understand vaginal birth, period. Don't understand what that does to a woman, period.
I hear you.
Don't understand what it does to a woman to carry a child 9 months. Don't understand any of that. So when you are forced and you have a woman trading, because you trade hormones with your child, mm-hmm. okay, after the embryo gets to viable, you start trading hormones, and you have a mother that is a drug addict or under mental health pressures or anything like that, you are transferring all of that to this child. The child comes out with the cards stacked against them to begin with. Mm. And so if someone is able to terminate a pregnancy within the reasonable standard, 6 weeks is way too soon because some people don't even know that they're pregnant at that time. If you are not able to do that, then who's to say that you're not condemning a child to a life of what we have today, when we have all of these teenagers, when we have things that are happening to youth, when we're altering people's lives because you don't give them a choice? And you're right. There should only be one answer, and it should be choice, and it that should be left up to the woman, her doctor, and her God, as she understands them. All of these people parading around about the sanctity of life, and they're protecting an unborn life, and they're doing all of this. Listen, I believe truly in my heart that I won't believe Republicans are pro-life. I believe more they're anti-abortion, and I won't believe that they're pro-life until I start seeing more pro-life funding, until I start seeing more activity to support people that want to adopt children, including gays, that they have equal rights to do that, including transgendered people. I don't believe that anything that the anti-abortion people say until we have some proof in government that they're willing to do that and sustain the life of that child.
I love you regardless because you're my friend, even if we disagree on some of these things. There is a reality, and I know we got to wrap up. I'll tell you is that there is a reality that we are – when we do things like this, like, look – if a person decides they want to have an abortion, you know, there's a big thing on just love at the end of the day. Look, I'm going to love you regardless. I don't think maybe it's the right choice to make, but I'm going to love you regardless. That said, I also do what I worry about sometimes on a number of different issues. We're making these exceptions constantly, and the reality is that no one put a gun to your head when you did certain things, and now you're looking for a way out. And I get the realities of society today, but I also understand, too, that this has been a long time coming with people just constantly, like, being – flagrant and so forth. And I'm not, and I'm telling you right now, Dana, I'm guilty of some of that stuff. When I mean, just like I was younger, you're flipping about things, you're just flagrant about it until you start to realize that there is a real, and this is something that people have a hard time with, I think sometimes, is that I know you don't see it, but it is something that is tangible, which is that there are going to be consequences for this in the long run on a number of different issues. The more exceptions we make, and I go, at what point in time as humanity do we say enough's enough? We got to start holding people accountable. You got to start
making
better.
We've gone way past that already.
I hope not. I hope not. Yeah. So, anyways.
Well, wow. We have an hour gone already, brother.
I love you, girl.
I love you too. But I don't love you like I love Danny Robbins. I love you better,
Danny. Danny, brother, my man.
You know I love him.
Yeah, I know.
I love him. He's an ass. But I love him. He's my ass. All right, guys, listen, thank you for joining us again today. We are back on our regular schedule, and I'll tell you this, we will be starting, I think mid-April, we'll start having candidates on. I've had a couple of them reach out to me. Hey, when are we going to go on the Smoke and Truth again? We're going to line up some debates. We're going to do a special 2-hour debate as we get closer to elections. I mean, we're going to be your source. We want to bring people here. We want to have your constituent questions. We want to understand what's important to you, because remember this, if it's important to you,
it's definitely important to us. Thank you.
Blair.
This has been The Smoking Truth with Dana McCool and Eric Raimondo. Listen for new episodes every Tuesday at 8 a.m. This has been a Mike and Mike production.